turn once again to the Gospel according to Mark. To Mark chapter 10, and we shall read from verse 46. Mark chapter 10 at verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. We find the Lord Jesus and his disciples coming to Jericho. And Jericho was a city about 15 miles from Jerusalem. And they are now leaving the city, and there is a great crowd following them. And here in Mark's account of the Gospel, he records a man sitting by the roadside, and the man is blind. If you read Matthew's account of the same incident, there are two blind men. Unusually, one of these blind men is named. His name is Bartimaeus, which means the son of Timaeus. Why was he named? That is not normal in the Gospels. We're just told of individuals, their particular affliction. But here we have a name. And the suggestion is that perhaps he or his father was well known, had some standing among the Jews, was known to the disciples. We cannot say. But if it was that this man, Bartimaeus, or his father, was indeed a person of some renown, it teaches us a lesson, does it not? And the lesson is this: afflictions of whatever kind come to all and sundry. Those who may be wealthy or powerful or having influence or looked up to by others, they are not spared necessarily the afflictions which are common to man. And we can certainly say this: even if we are spared the afflictions that many suffer in this life, death is something we shall not avoid. It will certainly come to us all. And we mention that because, as ever with the miracles that Christ performed, including this miracle of the healing of Bartimaeus, his sight restored by the Lord, we understand
that these things have a spiritual application. And what we read of here has reference spiritually to man on the way to eternity, to man who is blind by nature, and to man who must see, know, believe the truth of the Word of God concerning Jesus Christ before he departs this life. From Bartimaeus, we learn lessons as regards God's blessing, God's saving blessing, and the way in which it is obtained and enjoyed by sinners. So we shall consider blind Bartimaeus according to Mark's account and seek to note these lessons as we go along. Firstly, as the Lord helps us to note Bartimaeus seeking mercy. Seeking mercy. And we have that in verses 47 and 48. Bartimaeus learns that Jesus of Nazareth is in his vicinity. He's there by the roadside. He's there as one dependent upon the charity of others. And he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is present. There are certain things we can say about Bartimaeus which have a spiritual application to ourselves. And the first is this. Bartimaeus was needy. He was a needy individual. Blindness took him there to the highway in order to beg. He spent so many hours there by the highway, begging, hoping for alms, that some kind individual passing by, looking down perhaps and noticing him there, recognizing his need, will be charitable towards him. So many would just pass by. But on occasion, some kind soul would stop and give him some money or something of practical help to him. Well, we say that Bartimaeus was needy. Friends, we have a need which is far greater than his. And the need we have should take us to the house of God regularly. That is where we ought to be found. For there in God's house, here on the Sabbath day, we learn of blessing. Blessing from God, salvation for our souls. And only in God's house are you going to be hearing that. You may read your Bible at home, and you should, but God has promised to bless especially the preaching of his word unto the salvation of sinners. You remember Lydia, and she came to the place of prayer, where prayer was wont to be made, and we have the impression that that was where she was found regularly, and there she got, on one particular day, a blessing for her soul. Bartimaeus was a beggar. So are we. Do you see that? Do you acknowledge that? We can bring nothing to God. We have nothing. We are nothing. If we bring anything at all, it is the sin from which we need to be saved. Yet here is the gospel. The wonderful gospel, the glorious gospel of the blessed God. The God to whom we can bring nothing, in the gospel offers sinners everything. A full pardon, peace with God, to be a child of God, an heir of heaven, to have the Holy Spirit making us new creatures and giving us the preparation of holiness for our entrance into a glorious world to come. We have nothing of this by nature. It is all of God's gift, God's grace. So Bartimaeus was needy, but we are needy also. We have a need within, in our heart, our soul. And do we have any sense of that, knowing ourselves to be sinners? And are we coming to God's house? And we're coming with a sense of our need and how God alone is able to meet that need. Another thing we can say about Bartimaeus is that he was persistent. If you read Luke's account of the same incident, you learn there that Bartimaeus had been by the highway also the previous day when Jesus and the disciples came into Jericho. And now he's there again as Jesus and the disciples leave Jericho. So he is persistent. He's looking for a blessing. Alms, yes, but more than that. He's hopeful of a blessing which will see him a new man, in a sense. He longs to have his sight restored. And so then he will not have to sit by the highway day after day, dependent upon the charity of others. We need to be persistent in seeking good from God. Sometimes people will send up a prayer when there's some crisis, some immediate material need. They don't know where to turn in the difficulty, so they'll try praying. Well, if our praying is like that, we cannot really expect God to answer and to bless us. Because prayer is our duty at all times. Prayer is part of the worship that we owe to God. And we should be praying as well as reading the Bible and coming to God's house. We should be doing this regularly. It should be a great part of our lives. We might say the central part of our lives. Yes, you have your work, your home life, your recreations. These things take up much time. But what is most important to you, it ought to be your soul. Your soul before God. And getting a blessing from God. And coming again and again and again to God in prayer, seeking a blessing. The third thing we can say about Bartimaeus is that he was confident. Confident. Not in himself, but in the Lord. He had not, of course, seen Christ's miracles personally. He could not see those miracles because he was blind. But he had heard the reports. And hearing the reports, he believed them and believed in the one
who may consent. Bartimaeus was poor. He had nothing but what was given to him. But we read in James, do we not, that God has chosen the poor of this world rich in faith. And that may have reference to those who are materially poor, because so often that circumstance is used by God to bring individuals to himself, to trust in him as Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees and provides. But poor also in the way Christ spoke of in the Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are we poor in spirit? To be poor in spirit is to acknowledge unto God our sin, our unworthiness, our complete lack of a righteousness acceptable to God. It is to confess our guilt, the guilt of our sin, unto God. And it is to be weighed down, often, with a sense of how unfit we are in and of ourselves for God to approach his throne, to dwell with him. Bartimaeus had that sense, but he also had faith, rich in faith. See how he addresses Jesus when he cries there by the highway side. Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me. And that title is significant. That title is given in Scripture to the Messiah, the Son of David. And here is Bartimaeus, and he's heard much about Jesus, and the Lord has worked in his soul, and he believes that Jesus of Nazareth is indeed this Son of David, and indeed the Son of God. Now, we said that Bartimaeus was persistent. We have an example of that here. In verse 47, he begins to cry out for mercy, calling upon Jesus, the Son of David. What happens? Oh, there's many in the crowd who think it's most unbecoming, unfitting, that he should be crying out in that manner. But does he listen to them? Does he obey their charge that he should be silent? No, he does not. He cried the more a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. So he repeats his plea. He's all the more earnest. There are those who are putting an obstacle before him, but he will overcome it with the help of the Lord's grace. Persistent, confident with the confidence of saving faith, believing that if we ask anything of the Lord, according to his will, he hears us, and we shall have what we request. This is a characteristic of saving faith compared to any other faith. Saving faith will not be denied. It will continue trusting, and the prayer of faith will be going up, and it will be going up with an even greater strength
and greater desire for the Lord to answer. Bartimaeus seeking mercy. It's only the sinner that needs mercy. Bartimaeus was a sinner. We are all sinners. Do we acknowledge that unto God and pray for mercy accordingly? Secondly, we have Bartimaeus coming to Christ in verses 49 and 50. And there's a wonderful thing there. Here's a great crowd. And we might imagine that many of them are speaking at least, and some perhaps are crying out some acclamation or word of praise or whatever it might be. And amidst that din, there's one cry going up concerning which Jesus takes note. He hears it when he's not hearing the other cries. This cry coming from Bartimaeus drew the attention of Jesus. He knew it to be a sincere cry coming from the heart, from a heart in which the Lord himself was working, a gracious heart. And so Jesus stops and he commands that Bartimaeus be called. And that was encouraging. Encouraging for Bartimaeus. Like him, we may have little in this world, little going for us in worldly terms. But if we are sending up a cry, if our cry is sincere, if we are seeking the Lord in our difficulties, calling upon him for help, even secretly, then he hears. He takes note. And that may be going on, unknown to us. One here, one there. Even in a place of worship, even in the congregation here today, the desire present, the yearning there, the cry going up to heaven. The Lord at work, prompting it, the Spirit enabling it. The Lord knows these things. Christ now in heaven, at God's right hand, he is still well able to hear these cries and these groans and these sighs that go up from poor and needy ones. So do not think that your prayer has to be some great oration, something very wordy. No. It comes from the heart. It's the utterance of the soul. It's the expression of faith, confidence in Christ. That is what we need. And then some in the crowd go to Bartimaeus, and they tell him that Jesus is indeed calling him, and he is to be of good comfort, to be encouraged, he is to rise, he is to get to his feet, and he is to come to Jesus. What does Bartimaeus do? Well, being blind, to get to his feet and to go to Christ wouldn't necessarily be a straightforward thing. Perhaps he had those around him who would assist him. But what we are told is this. He, Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. There was no delay.
He had this outer garment, this cloak perhaps of some kind that he took with him, put it on when the weather was cooler, give him some protection from the weather. But he just got to his feet and he cast aside this garment and he went as quickly as he could to Jesus. Does that not speak to us? How slow we are at times when it comes to the most important things in life. We dither, we delay, we get on with other things. It is as though our portion in this world is more important to us than our portion in eternity. Is that not an evidence of blindness, spiritual blindness? To be so taken up with your work and other things that you neglect your soul? You're going on in years, and still it is the same. Earthly things have a greater interest for you than the things concerning your salvation. Well, learn from Bartimaeus. He had a proper interest in his own soul and a proper interest in his welfare, in the sense that he knew that if he could have his sight, he could do things for the Lord. He could serve the Lord in ways he couldn't serve the Lord in his present condition. And he had this desire. And he went to the Lord. And do we have the same desire that takes us to the Lord? And not only once, but again and again and again. The one who is the fount of all blessing to our souls. Thirdly, we have Bartimaeus making his request. And we have that in verse 51. Again, there is something of particular interest here in the words of Christ. Firstly, Jesus asks Bartimaeus a question. And the question is this: what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And it is of interest because it is essentially exactly the same question as Jesus asked James and John, as we saw on a previous occasion. When they came to him, even with their mother, and when they said, Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatsoever we shall desire, Christ's response to them was, what would ye that I should do for you? So James and John, Bartimaeus, Christ is asking both the same question. And yet the answers could really not be more different. With James and John, they had a desire which was self-centered, a desire to be exalted in the world to come, to have a place at Christ's side when Christ, as the mediator, would be seated upon his throne. Pride. They were giving way to that, wanting to have a name for themselves. And Bartimaeus, he's simply concerned that he can do more for the Lord. He's not thinking of a place of honor, place of renown, so that he will have the praise of men. He's thinking of how he can honor Christ and serve Christ. Well,
The need that Bartimaeus had was obvious. Everyone in that crowd knew the need that Bartimaeus had, because why was he sitting there by the highway? Why was he begging? It was because he was blind. And Jesus obviously knew what his need was, the particular need, the thing that was his trial, his burden, and hindered him. Yet, Jesus asked Bartimaeus the question, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And there was good reason for that, and great wisdom there. Because Christ would have this man express his need for himself and in his own words. And is it not the same with us all? The need may be obvious, but we are still to mention it to the Lord. We are still to go to God in prayer and in our own words express the need we have. Bartimaeus honors Jesus with his response. "The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight." Bartimaeus has already used a messianic title in speaking to Jesus, "Thou Son of David." Now he uses this divine title, this divine name of Lord. The equivalent of Jehovah in the Old Testament, speaking of God. And by faith, Bartimaeus has a certain appreciation that Jesus of Nazareth is indeed the Messiah, and a certain understanding that the Messiah is none other and nothing less than God's eternal Son, come into our world by taking our nature. "Lord, that I might receive my sight." I know that thou art able to do this. Thou hast almighty power. And thou art good as God is good. And in thine infinite goodness, wilt thou grant unto me that I, a poor beggar in every sense, may receive my sight? A prayer of faith indeed. Who can open the eyes of the blind? Who can give the blind their sight? Only the Lord, only Jesus. That was the thought of Bartimaeus. Well, with ourselves, we have our sight, our physical sight. It may be impaired in various ways, it may become weaker with old age, but we have that faculty. Yet we do need to make the same request that Bartimaeus made of the Lord ourselves. We need to go to God with the same plea, "Lord, that I might receive my sight," because we do have a blindness. And we have a blindness by nature which is so profound that we literally cannot appreciate anything concerning the spiritual world, the unseen world, the world of which the Bible speaks. And the Bible may be before us, and we may read it and read it diligently and hear it preached, and yet we still do not see. We still do not understand. That's how profound our darkness is. It's a darkness within us, in our soul. Spiritual blindness is the worst blindness of all. And only the Lord can remove it. Only God has the power, and we say the grace, to deal with it. Only God, in Jesus Christ, is able to make provision for those who have this blindness, and he did so by sending Christ, and Christ going to the cross, and Christ dying in the place of sinners to take away sin. Sin is the cause of our spiritual blindness. So if our spiritual sight is to be restored, then there must be some remedy for our sin. And there you have it, in the cross of Christ. We preach Christ crucified, because that is the good news, and that is what you and I need to hear if we are to be delivered from our plight. So the question for us is this: have we ever asked the Lord, truly asked the Lord, to graciously take away our spiritual blindness and to grant us forgiveness for our sins? To begin there, coming as the publican did, God be merciful to me, a sinner, that the Lord would take away our guilt, that we would be pardoned, that we would see, know, understand, believe, obey the gospel, and be found in Christ and enjoying the benefits of Christ's redeeming work for our souls. Bartimaeus made his request. It is one that we must make. And are you making it on your knees before God? When you bow down to pray, or this should be your first petition. And then fourthly and finally, Bartimaeus following the Lord. We have that in verse 52. Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Christ acknowledged Bartimaeus' faith. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." That does not mean that there is power in faith to bring about the healing, the cure, to remove the blindness, to give the sight. But by faith, we honor God, we take him at his word, we believe his promises, and the Lord is pleased to meet that faith with his blessing. And immediately, Bartimaeus received his sight perfectly, and that was the answer of the Lord to his request. What did Bartimaeus then do? We've spoken of him as having faith. We've spoken of him as having grace, seeking the Lord sincerely. Well, the evidence that he was indeed a child of God is there in what we read. He followed Jesus. He followed Jesus in the way, going after him, walking in his steps, wanting to be in his presence, wanting to have fellowship with the Lord. Bartimaeus recognized how indebted he was to Jesus. From Christ, he had received his sight. The matter seemed to be hopeless before. He was without help, without help from man, but having the opportunity to come to Christ, taking that opportunity, he got the blessing he desired. He received his sight. And the parallel with man, with ourselves, in our sinful condition and our spiritual blindness is surely very evident. If we have come to Christ by faith, and that is the call which you hear again here today, if we have come and put our trust in the Saviour, and if our spiritual blindness has been taken away, and we know Christ as Lord and Saviour, our only Redeemer, well then, we will surely follow him. We will go with this man. We will long to be with him already in this world and spend as much time as we can with him in the things of God, in praise and prayer, in the Word. And we will follow him. And that means to go in the paths of righteousness. That's how we should be walking as believers in this world. We will sin, and we will come short, and we'll be going to Christ for forgiveness again and again and again while we're here. But we stick with him, and he does not cast us off. And we follow him, and we trust more and more carefully and wisely by his grace. And we follow him in the way to heaven and to glory by faith. Blind Bartimaeus, he received his sight. Have we received ours? Spiritual sight, saving faith, to know the Lord and follow the Lord, will let us do so with joy and rejoicing and to the glory of Christ, from whom we have received God's salvation for our soul. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord our God, as we give thanks for the gospel of Jesus Christ, we pray that we would know the blessing of thy saving grace more and more, and that we would be understanding more and more and seeing more and more clearly the glory that belongs to our Redeemer and the blessedness that belongs to his followers. Lead us and guide us in the way, and keep us unto life eternal, forgiving our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.